You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, and this is Abolitionist Astrology from Discorder Magazine. Capricorn. Libra creates all wealth. In an unfair society, such as this one, you are either a worker or a parasite. Which one are you? And yes, I am including mental and creative labor in this. Don't get your panties in a bunch.
You are back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR.ca. I'm your host, East Arian, and we are broadcasted from the unceded Musqueam, Coast Salish, Tsleil-Waututh, Squamish Nations territories, here live from the most western part of the lower mainland, here from the peninsula, from UBC's campus, here from the basement from CITR, the studio. If you you know, you're listening and you'd like to call in, the number is 604-822-2487. Listen, here on Off the Beaten Path, you do your part just like I do my part. Listen, if you listen to this, you know what's coming up. What we like to do here is talk about what's going on here in the Lower Mainland, what's going on here in the wider world, you know, sometimes what's going on in my life, and then what's going on in your life, you know, the universe, the universal life. One thing that's going on in my life is my hatred for Amazon continues. See, there was a 12-year gap where I didn't order anything from Amazon, and in 2021, December, I won like a bonus from work for doing a good job, being a good little worker, and I won basically like $1,000 in gift card to Amazon, and it kind of kicked off me, you know, slowly ordering things from Amazon. Not a lot, but definitely not nothing. But I never subscribed to Amazon Prime. I was like always just kind of, you know, ordered. I feel like once you get Amazon Prime, you're like, you know, then you're just ordering from Amazon constantly. And that wasn't me. You know, I've been able to avoid that. I like appreciate my that I have been able to avoid that affliction. This past maybe like 2 months ago, early March, I left a bad review on a item that I bought, which was a cell phone charger. And because it sucked, you know, it was one of those like fake iPhone chargers, iPhone C, USB-C, whatever. And it was like the speed charger, and it worked really well for like a month, and then it stopped working. So obviously I wrote and it said, it doesn't work. And, you know, that's what happens when you order from Amazon. You know, you get cheap shit. And I knew that, but I bought it anyways. And so I bought it, and it worked fine, and it didn't. And then I left a review. A few weeks later, somebody emails me, and they say, hey, you know, basically, can you take down that review for a $25 gift card? And I was like, of course, because I didn't care that much about the, you know, the charger. However, maybe if somebody would have seen my review, they would not buy it and then not spend the $25. Anyways, I paid only $20 for the charger, so I was like, of course, I'll take that in review for $25. I get the $25, and then I'm like, you know, I don't order from Amazon that much. So I'm like, you know, well, I'll just keep the $25 until I need to order something, and then I'm, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go order from Amazon. Well, today, I went to go. I was like, you know what I need? I need some new dock lines for my boat. So I was like, you know what? I have a $25 gift card on Amazon. I'll go to look at some new dock lines. And, you know, I look at the dock lines. They're like $32. And I'm like, great. That's $7 dock lines for me. I can get like nice. And then I'll even get an even color I like. And I'm like, wow, that's really, really nice. And then I go to buy it. And it says you only have $2 left from this gift card. And I'm like, what the fuck? I did not definitely not spend $23. So I go to the gift card, you know, to look at the transaction on the gift card, and it says that I have had Amazon Prime for the last 2 months. Since the day I got the gift card, they charged me for March and April, which is bullshit because I never signed up for Amazon Prime. And that's why Amazon Prime and Amazon is, I mean, that's just not the only reason why. Like today they had a story that came out and said that they shouldn't have denied the people having to pee in bottles, that they were wrong. And obviously we knew they were wrong because who would lie about peeing in bottles? So like this isn't the worst thing that Amazon has done. However, they stole $23 from me because I was gifted a gift card. There's so much like... you know, it's one of those things where you're like, who can you be mad at? Like, I mean, you can be mad at Amazon, like me, but like, what can you do? What is the recourse? They make these things so difficult that it is trash. Anyways, just a reminder, Amazon sucks, and they'll steal from you. It's not a wonder. Anyways. This, you know, this show, what we do is we like to talk about scams. We talk to some really smart people. We talk about some smart people. We talk about what, you know, some people are doing who, you know, maybe not conventionally smart, but smart to me. And, you know, then we talk about, you know, some serious issues. But this Amazon one. It really pissed me off because I never got to use the $25. And they signed me up for Prime, which means that if I didn't notice that they signed me up for Prime, I was going to get charged next month for something that I never signed up for because I received a gift card. That's trash. That's how Amazon keeps making money. They're stealing from people. Who else is stealing from people? Cellpip, Paragon Industries, and all of the private equity companies that are wrapped up in this English testing. Tomorrow morning, I have to take an English test. Yes, I have to take an English test for my Canadian citizenship. Basically, for me to stay here, you know, I have to prove that I can speak the only language that I really speak. Like, I mean, I speak some other languages very poorly. But English is all I got. Anyways, so I have to take an English test. And if you've never taken an English test, like, for your freedom, it can be a little stressful. Like, I, as an English speaker and as a good test taker, like, I'm pretty fairly confident. Like, I've already taken this test. This is how you know it's a scam. I took it, but they said that since my results were more than 2 years old, that I need to take it again. Excuse me. Do you think that I fucking forgot how to speak English in the last 2 years? That's crazy that this company makes you take a test again. And it's not this company. It's just like the rules. They set the rules of immigration. They help, you know, make these. Well, you know, they took the test 2 years ago. If you took the test 2 years ago, it should be good for life. I feel like if you take an English test to prove that you speak English, that should be good for life. Anyways, I have to take it tomorrow. But like, what I was saying is that if you have never taken an English test for your freedom, it's stressful. Like, this is how they organize the test. It is the absolute least natural way of speaking English. Part of the test is they have listening components, reading components, writing components, and speaking components. And so one of the major components is the listening, and the listening is the hardest because what they do is they show you a picture, and the picture could be like a man and a woman talking at a coffee shop. And then what they do is they have a fake 1.5 minute conversation that is full of action sentences. Like, that's just not how a real conversation goes. The conversation goes like, it's like, "Hey Fred, how was work today?" And Fred's like, "Work was great. Bonnie smoked crack and then they fired her. They moved her stuff into a red bin and they moved the bin into the back of the truck." And then Sarah will go, "Oh wow, I wonder what color the tires were. Did you see the tires? And did you know which direction they were pointed?" And then Fred goes, "No, I didn't see where the tires went, but Tommy came and he got the car started and drove down and made a right and was heading towards the gas station." And then Sarah goes, "Oh, I wonder if he'll pick up water. He told me he was thirsty." And then that's like the conversation. And then how the test goes, the first question is, "What was Tom doing there?" And you're like, "What?" Anyways, that's how it goes. But, you know, as somebody who's good at taking tests, I'm fairly confident. I can say that now. Next Tuesday, tune in for a recap, and I'll tell you how it went. I'll tell you, you know, if I passed or I need to pay another $280 to take it again. So right now, I'm up to nearly $600 to prove that I speak English. $580 to be exact, to prove that I speak English. When we come back from listening to some amazing music, we have a lot to talk about in the show. Listen, we're going to talk about kind of like this big macro issue that I, just kind of have noticed from kind of throughout my work, but then also just kind of, if you really think about how everything is coming together in our culture, just kind of how it's all rooted in us being deathly afraid of one another, and how if that's not rectified, systemically, then we're actually doomed. We're going to talk about, you know, just kind of some changes in Kitsilano Parks. We're going to talk about how a man was feeding a bear and was fined $5,000, and how it's kind of racist, but I expected him to be feeding this bear just by the name, and how a woman tried to kill her friend with some cheesecake that definitely would have killed me. We might talk about how the Pentagon is looking at UFOs and spending countless taxpayer dollars. And we're going to definitely talk about this man who had a plane grounded because he couldn't stand this baby crying on the plane. When we get back, got a lot going for you. And don't forget, it's almost May, and you know what that means. The weather is changing, and let me tell you, I can't wait.
I'll be fucking wondering what the fuck is wrong with me going through these fucking emotions and shit. Look, I don't give a fuck, mindset that I'm on. I don't care about no feelings, just protecting my own. Don't be thinking cause I'm damaged that my blessings is gone. If stone said it, then it's set in stone. Remember I was chilling at the bus stop. Members of the family, they usually around, but today they took a Jill Scott. Hopped and paid my fare, curly hair got me in shock. She rubbing on her seat like she saving me a little spot. At least that's the signs that I read. Bloodshot. So we started talking, good conversation, whatnot. She older than me. And she always feels the need to repeat it, like I'm supposed to follow her lead. But shit, I'm 15, thinking I'm the ultimate mad, cause I made her laugh, and I got my hand on her lap. I don't know why she fuck with me, I just know that she bad. Stormy got a phone number, I ain't even had to ask. I'm trying to run back home and show it to my dad, but my mama intercepted like I threw a bad pass. Here comes the skeezers, it's what she said. She took it out my hands, ripped that shit in half, like she don't give a fuck. Mindset that I'm on, I don't care about no feelings, just protecting my own. Don't be thinking cause I'm damaged that my blessings is gone. If stone said it, then it's set in stone. For real, you don't let that shit breathe a little bit, man. I was really mad she ripped that number. I was gonna call her too, I was gonna dial that bitch up. Yeah, look, first day of school, I'm the new kid, right? I was playing ball, so I'm popular, I'm coolin'. And Ned already taught me about how this shit get ruthless. The way that you survive is dodge drama in the ruins. See, I got this little buddy that I'm cool with. Showing me around and I'm slowly introduced. The green eyes, I ain't never seen that point of view. She clutching on my arm like me and her don't make two. Grip getting tighter, cannot seem to shake her loose. If it's a conversation with another bitch, then she'll intrude. So unfamiliar, I sit back and look confused. Your different type of love come with different sets of rules. Never been claimed out in public, so I'm puzzled. I dropped 30 points a game, now she calling me a husband. Had me wondering and questioning what I'm really worth. It wasn't about being with me, it was about being secure. She don't give a fuck. Mindset that I'm on, I don't care about no feelings, just protecting my own. Don't be thinking cause I'm damaged that my blessings is on. If stone said it, then it's set in stone. She tried to claim me in front of everybody, I ain't know what to do, like. What's going on, man? I ain't with that. Got a little older, I could hold a note now. Coming into my own and these hoes start to notice. Tensions quickly shifting, nah, I don't want no homies. Bitch, I'm doing lawn chair, origami, pretzel folding. The more and more it happens, the less I feel emotions. If I ever smell commitment, I'm definitely ghosting. Running from my feelings, have me running through these hoes. All the way to campus, nigga had a little motion. Wintertime, car died, can I hit you up? No, I put it down, she say, whenever you want. Story on my lust, came in real clutch. She say, stay the night, okay, you doing too much. Look, I know that the damage done. I know if I don't know me, then there ain't no understanding us, yeah. And I don't know if we friends or what, yeah. But you moaning finna wake the whole campus up. We don't give up.
Hey, back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR.ca. Listen, if you have never given money to CITR, you never given money to the fund drive, listen, it's your opportunity to give back to the community. Listen, I know you don't give back to the community enough, because none of us do. So do your part. So basically, I would say, like, let's just start with the bigger thing, which is people are really scared of each other today. And it's not only a racial problem, you know, or like an area problem. It's just like in general, people are just terrible. I was having on the phone with my grandmother today, and I was in Seattle over the weekend, and my grandmother was just saying that, you know, she was like, isn't it crazy over there? Like, isn't it dangerous over there? Like, isn't it dangerous? And I'm like, no, it's not dangerous. Seattle after Vancouver, maybe was one of the least dangerous places I've been. Like, are there homeless people? Yes. Like, are they inherently dangerous? No. You know, but just this past week, I know last week we talked about the Ralph Jarl, the boy who was looking, picking up his little brother, went to the wrong house, knocked on the door, and was shot twice. And then not only was he shot twice, he had to go to, he wasn't helped until somebody who was four houses down, like, was knocking on doors looking for help after he was shot in the head and the arm, and nobody would help him until he was passed out in somebody's yard. And then an Atlanta man was shot and killed after he was mistakenly entered in the wrong car at a gas station and, like, you know, with his head down, texting, you know, went to open the car door and was shot four times and killed. And just kind of this, the national, you know, the national, international narrative around just how we have positioned, you know, basically, one, we have a large segment of the population, I'm talking about people in the United States particularly, and but here it's just like people are scared. You know, people. Some people are scared of each other because of COVID, which is valid. Some people are scared of each other because those people believe in COVID. You know, those people believe in vaccines. You know, like they're scared of those people. Then we have, you know, the people who feel that they need to have a gun and they need to have access and the right to own a gun, because there are scary people that exist. And then you have people who want to buy guns because those people exist. And what it leads to is just that, and then we have, you know, the drumming up the fear of, you know, China taking over our economic system. Then we have fear of, you know, unions taking over our economic system, fear of trans people that leads, and it's not even just a fear, it's a more of a hatred, but, you know, just kind of this, not just, it's just this natural, this, I wouldn't even say it's natural, but this level of distrust in each other. That leads to no good. You know, it doesn't lead to someplace positive, and it's just kind of, it's kind of sad, because, like, it means that the less that we look out for each other is like the less we're going to see the benefits of what it means to look out for each other. And if you don't see the benefits of looking out for one another, then you don't look out for one another. It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. And then we have just kind of communities that are not communities. It's just a bunch of people living in a place, you know, desperate, which is what we have, you know, desperate to survive. And without that idea that we can look to each other for help in that survival, we continue to struggle by ourselves, and you can see the effects of that, you know, by people continuing to just be by themselves. It's not ideal. It's also, it doesn't seem like it's going to get any better, because we don't know how to change that. People refuse. And I think we talked about this last week, but on the show, about how a lot of organizations are seeing a large decline in volunteering, you know, a large, basically across the board. And it's very interesting, because in the article, it failed to mention just kind of one, that a lot of volunteers died during COVID, because those were the first people who were on the front lines trying to help people. And then also, you know, those are the people who had the time, older people who, you know, who are in their 65, you know, 60, 65, 70s, who are still able to be out and be an active part of the community, but maybe, you know, in a more volunteer, you know, way. Those are the people who are on the front lines of being around people, helping people, and those people died. But talking about the scarcity, the, you know, artificial scarcity that we live in, where people are desperate about housing and home and making and getting food. We talk about inflation and all of these things that lead to, you know, people not having the ability to kind of build those types of communal relationships, and that makes it so we are distrustful, because we don't even know each other, because we spend so much time being stressed and working. Anyways, something to think about as you take throughout your week. You know, think about how are you helping connect with other people, and how are you contributing to this kind of idea that we're all scared of each other. And like, when you walk past your neighbor, do you say hi? You know, do you look at him in the eyes? Do you know people's names? Not in a weird name. You know, I met a guy today at the basketball court. He asked me for my whole name. It was very weird, but, you know, I could tell. It seems just like kind of the kind of guy he was. But now, I'm not going to forget his name. And I'm sure I'll see him again, you know. But that's one thing I feel like about, you know, dudes. It's like, I feel like I can go to the basketball court and make friends still. It's just kind of a place where you just, yeah. Anyways. Kitsilano will be looking a little bit different this summer. I mean, different than, I don't know when, but kind of just different, because we've talked about this before, but officially, drinking is allowed in Spanish Banks, Jericho Beach, Locarno, Kitts Beach, Second Beach, New Brighton Park, in the Sandy area on the south side of Trout Lake. So basically, you can drink in all of the parks that you'd want to drink in from 11 a.m. until 9 p.m. I don't know why they started at 11 a.m. Like, you should be able to drink there before 11 a.m. 11 a.m. just seems like that's specific, you know? Anyways, so you can drink there from 11 to 9 at those beaches. Hopefully that means that, like, those cops will need to do something else besides, ride around in the RVs. Poor cops. I bet that was a fun assignment to be assigned Kits Beach Police, where all you did was ride around on four-wheelers harassing people for drinking with their friends. Good luck to you, at police officers. I hope you have to find another assignment, another nice summer for you. But anyways, you can drink at the park and feel a little bit more comfortable. And so one of the places that you won't be able to drink at is at the Kitsilano Showboat because it was damaged by a fire last week. And that's unfortunate. Like, I feel that, I am not against public vandalism. But there's some things that I'm like, why would you do that? Like setting a fire to the Kitsilano Showboat. It's just kind of like, meh. Like, why would you do that? What was the purpose? Like, I need my public vandalism to come with like a manifesto, like V for Vendetta. You know what I mean? Like, I need there to be a handwritten note at the sign or, at the site that says, kind of, what are your aims? Or else Or it needs to happen in like a riot, but not a sports riot, like an actual, people are fighting against something, That same guy who I was talking about at the park, one of the questionable things that he did say, though, which was something that I think is illuminating and should be, as you think about it, which is we were talking about, asked my last name. I said my last name is the Braithwaite. He was like, oh, that's like a family in Red Dead Redemption. And I was like, yeah, I really like that scene. And the Braithwaites were like a slave-owning family in the game. And if you guess, my name is not. I'm not sure that where we got our name from, the guy over owned slaves. He seems like he was a laborer, the white guy. But anyways, these Braithwaites did. And he was like, yeah, sometimes those are the best part of the games. You can just run around and just kill people whenever you want. He's like, oh, that's why I love Red Dead, Grand Theft Auto. And I was like, male fantasy, just shooting the places up. And I was like, hey, man, that's not every male's fantasy. Not mine. I didn't know what else to say. But I was like, hey, it's not everybody's fantasy. You don't have to fantasize about that. Way better things you could do in that game. Like, you can try to parallel park without crashing into cars, stop for old ladies crossing the street. Things you don't get to do in normal everyday life. I didn't know how to take it. But when he asked me about my hair, I got up. So I'll never forget this guy. I don't know if that was good or bad, but I know his name. I won't say his name on the air, but I do know it. So a West Vancouver man was fined $5,000 for feeding his bear in 2019. And one of the things that's crazy is that he's got pictures of it. Like, I think he put it on his social media. And I say this, like, if you heard the lead, I said, I looked at the name and I was like, I don't know if he was, like, trying to feed the bear or if he was trying to train the bear. Because his name is Vitaly Shevchenko. And I don't know anything about the root of that name except for the fact that I have a vague, when I say vague, I mean like a very vague map in my brain of maybe where that name comes from. And I have associated the people from that region with maybe wrestling bears. And the way in which this person looked like they fed the bears looks like they had done is before. Now, like, this is something that maybe I shouldn't assume, but this guy looked familiar with the bears. Anyways, he's fined $5,000. When the sad part about defeating the bears is that, like, we haven't had a good animal catching a human story in a long time. And it's kind of making me sad because I feel like the animals are losing the fight. And it's traps like this that I feel like are bad because what happens is that the bears get caught up, right? the bears get caught up. Because once a bear gets too comfortable, they kill the bear. And that's an unfortunate reality, is that he's not actually helping the bear, you know? Like, he's not training the bear. He's setting the bear up for a long good night. And that's upsetting. $5,000 doesn't quite seem like enough, to be honest, for the life of a bear. Like, if you set me up to die, I think you should owe more than $5,000. When we get back, we're going to talk about what the police say, and then talk about how you shouldn't always believe the police. It's kind of crazy we have to continue to say that year after year.
Wait. Nah. You say you love me. I think I love you too. You say you trust me. I wish I could trust me. You're driving me crazy. Girl, hope you don't wise up me.
On your dash, my dear, you gave me sloppy in the passenger. When any steering, cause the cruise control is on the van, is on the ass, my dear. See, I'd die happy if we crash right here. You laugh, say I ain't got no act right. Damn, feel like these moments lately fading far away. I hate how far they feel. We went from loving, running over from the night. Before a movie, watching arms around you tight. To losing count of who is right in all these fights. And falling back into my vices. Thought I left in my past life. I know that your heart, it ain't a game. I wanna abuse it. But lately it's feeling like I'm a loser. Just tell me the truth if you want it so deep. Cause every time I ask you, say it. You say you love me. I think I love you too. You say you trust me. I wish I could trust me. You're driving me crazy. Girl, hope you don't rise up. Swear.
You coasted your way right up into my heart. Got way too hot and too heavy from the start. Couldn't even make it out the bar. Can lie. Magnetism, yeah, you got me, God. Reverse the whip, let me ghost ride again. I know you don't got long, promise to be there. Even though I'd rather take my time on it. You make like bananas, yeah, you got juice play. Tokyo drifting apart, I don't like it. Just want a piece of your time, not to fight. I'm uneasy about the way you got me thinking too much. Ringing on your line, but you don't answer enough. Make you pick between me and your dreams. Looking for balance and not these extremes. Know my moods keep drifting and I'm doing the most. Hope that you don't change up, guys.
You say you love me. I think I love you too. You say you trust me. I wish I could trust me. You're driving me crazy.
Who raised this back home again? We have such a good time already together.
You back it off the beam path here on 101.9 CITR CA. You know, this is the part of the show where we talk about the late nights. So the, you know, how 2 weeks ago the VPD and the city workers went to the downtown east side and they uprooted all of the individuals who are homeless. And today the VPD says that safety is trending in the right direction on the Hastings Street decampment area. And however, a number of weapons and propane tanks being seized is still concerning. Which is it? Which is it, police? You know, is it safe or not? And also, was it ever not safe? Also, what would the police say? The police station is right on Main and Hastings. If police presence kept people safe and kept areas, you know, from being in trouble, then those down, then like Main and Hastings wouldn't exist. The police office, the police station is right there. It's right there. You never see any police talking to people, being outside. What are the police doing? You never see them. Anyways, I was listening to a story about this today because basically the police are claiming that crime is down. They're claiming that sexual assaults are down, and they're claiming that basically that, you know, that their tactics have worked. And it's really hard for me to imagine that the police would claim anything different than their training has, you know, than their plan has worked. And, you know, women's shelters and some domestic, like battered women's shelters downtown agree, because they say that the VPD isn't even equipped in understanding and taking in, you know, the complaints and the requests of women now. So how would they even understand or know what it looks like for those numbers to be down, because those centers are still experiencing the same issues and still experiencing people who are having the same issues. So is it really working? It's, you know, it's just one of those things that it seems, again, like all for show, you know. There's some really funny stories that have happened in the past week. One of them, I wasn't sure I was going to talk about it, but basically, the CBC, you know, we talk about, you know, the hard-hitting news that the CBC does. Well, the CBC ran a story, a rather long story, to be honest, about a kid who bought shoes for $4,000, and let me find it. Kid who bought shoes, family paid for $400 for some Nikes that lasted 10 weeks. So basically, this kid bought, you know, some Cristiano Ronaldo cleats. And after 10 weeks, they were falling apart. They tried to get Nike to, you know, to send some new shoes, and they refused. And then basically it went back and forth until Nike, you know, they sent the shoes back. Nike said that there was no issue. They sent them back. And, yeah, Nike's being dickheads. But also, why would you buy $400 soccer cleats and then play in them and then practice in them? You know what I mean? Like, that's very, I feel like that's a very privileged thing to do. And then also to get a story written about you in the CBC. Not that I want to bully a teenager for, you know, having, he didn't choose to write this story. Like, you know, I'm sure he would rather have a story about, goals being scored. But, if his parents are listening, and maybe if he's listening, hey, you know, when you buy like limited edition shoes or cleats, you know, maybe don't wear them. Because that's what happens to cleats and like basketball shoes. They rip. Like, that's if somebody's like wearing like the Kobe Grinches and they rip. It's like, well, those are basketball shoes. Like, basketball shoes rip. Like, that's what happens when you play hard in sports. The shoes fail. Should they have failed? Probably not. Should Nike give you their money? Should Nike give you money back? Probably. Probably. Probably, but like, this story is crazy. They interviewed a cobbler. They interviewed, they talked about who Nike endorses. They talked about how selling this celebrity and selling this is causing issues. I mean, to be artificially inflated, which is absolutely right. And this person bought into all the hype and bought into the shoes and then bought them and ruined them. And that's just kind of what happens. It's just, to me, crazy that they got a story on CBC. I mean, but it did get him some new cleats. So I guess all is well that ends well. When I see newsrooms around the country, get cutting staff and cutting what it looks like to be very valuable and people doing hard hitting journalism. And then you see Erica Johnson and Kimberly Ivani. These are two stories. The woman who wrote this is an investigative journalist she's an award-winning investigative journalist and talked about the consumer program marketplace for the last 15 years. I'm reading her bio. Investigating everything from dirty hospitals to fraudulent financial investors. Co-host of CBC news segment Go Public. Erica continues to expose wrongdoings and hold corporations and governments to account. Holding corporations to account because their shoes were ruined. I feel like these limited editions, this is so interesting. And then the other person is a producer for CBC's Go Public, passionate about social justice stories, but writing about $400 Nikes. That seems sad. This is like when I was working on this project at work and just thinking about, it's for a food company, and just thinking about how there are people who went to school for 15 years. I might have said this on there. 15 years, you know, went to undergraduate school, then went to graduate school, then got their doctorate, wrote a dissertation, defended their dissertation, get called doctor, and their job is to make, you know, spicier condiments. You know, try, how do you refine the taste of ketchup to be more engaging with 2023 taste buds? And you're like, damn. And then they have to make their job sound important because obviously who wants to feel like they're not important? But anyways, when we get back, we're going to talk about probably one of the funniest but yet most disturbing stories that I've heard in the past day or so. Really funny though. So it's honestly something that you don't want to miss. Like, I wish I could play the entire interview from this man, or it's not even an interview, but the entire video, but it's too hard to hear. But I'm going to read some of my favorite quotes from it when we get back.
I was caught up in a moment, wallowing my lows. I was low, now I'm floating. Said it all before it even happened, and you know I did it how I spoke, and I didn't need no cosign. Did this on my own. This rap shit ain't no hobby, nigga. I knew that right away. It's blessings on my body. Them shits feel like they a mile away. Haters want to start an army, dying to get them off me. They stay up counting my wins, my success, a few cups of coffee. This flame inside my pen and soul been burning bright. God been in chose. I came to fuck the game up. Y'all could have it when I'm finished, though. I'm the pinnacle, that's why they deny me. But I'm golden, so you bury me alive. The people still gon' come to find me, not deny that. I hit them bad vibe ass niggas with the sidestep. Had the brightest future present, still ain't brought to shine yet. And I be asking, why is that? Guess I ain't hit my prime yet. I was caught up in a moment, wallowing my lows. I was low, now I'm floating. Said it all before it even happened, and you know I did it how I spoke, and I didn't need no cosign. Did this on my own. I'm gon' find a way. Been searching for brighter days, so I don't got the time today for loose ends untied. Just know I'm gon' find a way. Been searching for brighter days. Success is a mile away. I'm losing my mind. Just know I'm gon' find a way. Been searching for brighter days. I don't got the time.
tight. You know I'm gonna find a way. Been searching for brighter days. Success is a mile away. I'm losing my mind.
You're back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR.ca. Listen, if you'd like to call in the number 604-822-2487, tell us a story about when you were annoyed by a baby on a plane and how you responded. So apparently this video was originally posted to TikTok. Honestly, some of the most hilarious lines I've ever heard. Just because, so what happened is this baby was apparently crying for this entire flight, and this man had had enough. Now, I totally feel him. Like, there is a part of me that sometimes, just thinks, because I'm a little crazy, right? Just thinks, like, wow, there's really nothing stopping you except for, like, your commitment to the socialization that we have. That keeps you from just, like, exploding at any moment. You know what I mean? Like, doing anything at any time. Like, and we see that some people don't have that mechanism inside that stops them from doing that. But some people do. And this guy does not. So, basically, he's on a Southwest airline flight. And basically, the passengers were forced to deplane after one man caused a scene over a crying baby. The man says, "This baby has been crying for 40 minutes, shouting in the clip. Calm the goddamn child down." He's like, "I had headphones on and I was sleeping." Then, the best quote of all. He said, "Did that motherfucker pay extra to yell?" Then somebody says, "It's just a baby." And he says, "Fuck you and shut up." And it's hilarious. And then he was asked to lower his voice and he replied, "Can you lower that baby's voice? Lower that baby's voice. I'm triggered." And then after a short while, he goes, "Fuck that baby." And I could just, like, I couldn't even imagine why they deplaned the plane. Like, I watched the video. I didn't feel like that man was a threat. He was fed up and it was hilarious. And I could see how he was being disruptive. The baby was being disruptive. I don't see why that causes anybody to land the plane. I find that everybody should have just been laughing. I feel like that would have de-escalated this situation more than the attendants getting in this man's face, telling him that he's an adult and you need to be quiet. Basically, he was telling these people, like, "Why don't y'all talk to the baby? Why don't y'all talk to the baby? Why are y'all talking to me?" Which is hilarious in its own right. Also, absolutely wrong, but also absolutely hilarious. Let's end this on the story. So there's two stories. Man, so many good stories. Actually, I lied. So many good ones. So there was a woman who was trying to get back to Russia. So she invited her friend who kind of looked like her and was planning on poisoning her and killing her and stealing her identity so she could get back to Russia. Apparently, the woman survived the attempt and didn't die. And the woman's sentenced to 21 years. But just kind of crazy that people are out here plotting on your downfall. People are out here plotting on you. So make sure that you are taking care of you. Listen, we do this every week, every Tuesday from 10 to 11. Listen to Crimes and Treasons from 8 to 10 every week. It's by far the best radio station in Canada, definitely in Vancouver, definitely in the Lower Mainland. Just check it out. Tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend to tune in. Listen, we've got combined over 20 years of podcasted episodes. You can go check it out. You can go listen to the music. You can go find which music we had playing online. We do this every week for you, for the people. I'm out.
Yo. Niggas get shot like the camera ready. Like my shooters working Polaroid. Niggas got Grammy energy. I got social wars, sober thoughts. Running in this liquor, I've been sipping on. Living on my last breath. Chopper still sing like it's left